else scheduled. You know, my life is very scheduled now. Very scheduled. So I love not having anything scheduled when, oh, someone was supposed to be here and they're not. And so I will just sit. And there he is. Oh, you're Michael Langford. Is this for real?
You know the last name. Darn it, I wanted to just tell you, well, you actually.
Michael, I know you so well. I spend,
That's so
you
funny.
know, it's funny. I spend every morning with the Seven Steps to Awakening.
I know, and
You know that.
he knows this, but it's kind of a joke amongst a few people that we're going to keep this as a secret from Regina.
Okay, so the joke's on me. Well, as I mentioned, you know, what caught my attention was the comments you were making once the audio, because obviously you were picking up on, you know, the very best things to pick up and to comment. Oops, you know what? You may have to turn your Pal Talk sound off because I hear myself.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Hold on just a second. Let me
Okay.
turn the Pal Talk sound off. Okay.
Michael, I'm so happy that you come to the sanctuary. That really makes me very happy.
Yeah, you saw by the words I was typing, you knew who it was, didn't you?
Well, I didn't know it was you, but I knew, I mean, I didn't know it was the body called Michael Langford, but I knew it was clarity. That's what I knew.
Yeah. So, well, that's funny. I actually never suspected that you knew. I thought it was going to be a complete total surprise. I was wrong about that.
Well, the phone told on you.
What?
The phone, when you know the caller ID popped up as soon as the phone rang, it said Michael Langford.
Oh, I see. Oh,
So
I see.
this is really a thrill for me because you know, although we've never met, if someone was to ask me who one of my key teachers was in this lifetime, I would say Michael Langford.
Yeah.
You know that, huh?
I know that, yeah. I found so many nice things, wonderful things in the room when I've been there in the past couple of weeks. Things that I haven't really seen that often before. It's kind of rare that there's ever a focus on actually looking at the ego or actually identifying its tricks and that sort of thing. And in this chat room, it's there. And that's really something wonderful. Usually people are, I don't know, kind of scared about actually looking at the ego's tricks and how to bring it to an end and that sort of thing. And it's really nice to see a room where most people are actually okay with that.
You know, I think that probably comes from the history of the room, the fact that although now, you know, anything that points towards truth is welcome here, this room started with A Course in Miracles, and I know you know A Course in Miracles, so you know that one of the primary advantages of that spiritual teaching is it has you looking at the ego.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, a big portion of the hundreds and hundreds of pages do actually that. And that's really, really something nice.
Well, it's funny when I clicked on the audios this morning, the first audio I clicked on was a Seven Steps audio. And then something in me said, no, go older. You know, so I closed that one down and went all the way back to 2007. And as I mentioned, what I was a little surprised to hear was actually it was all the same because now I have been through this long enough, I guess, that some of the, there's an intellectual understanding that just naturally comes about because the mind, as you know, is here too, and it's learning all this stuff too. And but what I heard in the audio from 2007 is long before there was an intellectual understanding at all, there was clarity. And what I love about that is it shows that the clarity has nothing to do with the intellect.
Yeah, when something prior To my mind's understanding, one could say, when something which is just so much deeper, so much beyond anything that a human mind might understand, when it comes, it kind of validates such a teaching. As far as the seven steps goes, I caught one of your recent sharings, and I was kind of surprised because I thought that once you started the quotes that are actually totally directed towards the ego, I thought that people would actually not respond well. But actually, a couple of the presenters in the room repeated those teachings, and I was surprised at the openness. One of the reasons I sort of didn't reveal myself and kind of lurked was because I thought you were doing such a good job of being able to present things directly towards the ego without threatening people, that I actually might not be able to do such a good job. And so I thought, I'll just let it go. It's great as it is.
Well, as I mentioned, I really don't do it. Whenever I teach, there's something about here, about me, that I don't know. But from the very beginning, Michael, from the very, very beginning, as soon as I would step up to teach or sit down to write, there was no person. So that has never come from the person. Now, the person can come back when I'm not writing or teaching. And then the spiritual practice comes back of watching the mind and practicing self-inquiry. But for some reason, it easily disappears. I didn't even have to learn that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
If I was to liken it, I would say like an athlete. You know, athletes get in the zone.
Right.
Or musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to be able to somehow come upon the depths that are totally, completely beyond the human mind, the depths that have always been beyond the human mind, and to speak from that perspective, that's what produces a great teaching. You know, a good example of that was when V. Ganeshan, Ramana Maharshi's grandnephew, met Nisargadatta Maharaj. Nisargadatta Maharaj actually prostrated to V. Ganeshan, and Nisargadatta Maharaj asked V. Ganeshan to teach, and V. Ganeshan said, "I cannot teach." And Nisargadatta said to V. Ganeshan, "You will not be teaching.
Yeah.
That will be teaching."
Yeah.
So that's very much related to what you just said.
Yeah. And you may have heard me say that that was, that's how this experience started for me, was I, had what one might call a channeling experience, although that was the only one that really felt like channeling. But I suppose it had to happen that way in order to get my attention. But I had what felt like a channeling experience that asked me to, at that time, because I was a core student, the language was Holy Spirit. I don't use that language as much anymore. But at that time, it was the Holy Spirit asking me to write for it and teach what I write. And what I was told was that that's how I would learn, that that's how I would awaken. And in fact, I then received kind of a prompting to go see a movie. And the movie that I was prompted to go see was called Shall We Dance with, Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez. And I went and saw that movie knowing that there was a message in it for me, but I didn't know what the message was. And then it came to this one scene where Jennifer Lopez is teaching Richard Gere how to ballroom dance, and he's really doing a lousy job. He's stepping all over her feet. And she kind of stops and looks right at him, and she said, "Don't think. Don't move unless you feel it." And I knew that that was my instructions. You know, I had received guidance from within in the morning to write and teach, but then I knew by afternoon when I saw that movie that it was never to be me.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to just focus on one thing that is really profound, that has the ability to transform one. And when one says, don't think, just feel, it seems like just a few words. But sometimes a few words, if one can just really focus on them and see what do they really mean, and how would that entirely change my life? Don't think, just feel.
Yeah.
If one can just focus on one simple sentence like that and really penetrate the meaning fully, it's possible to completely change one's life. As far as Richard Gere goes, you see, someone might think when you talk about a movie, oh, that just unearthed and blah, 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 and that would be an example of not being open to how everything can teach. But Richard Gere is actually the sponsor of a whole lot of Buddhist publications. He's someone who is a friend of the Dalai Lama and who is very much interested in those teachings of Tibetan Buddhism. And so where it might seem on the surface that, oh, she's talking about a movie, and people can judge so quickly, oh, she's talking about a movie, what's a movie? But actually, Richard Gere is very much interested in awakening. Mm-hmm. So the point there, there are connections that one doesn't always see.
Well, I'm going to read to you from The Seven Steps to Awakening. I think you've heard of that book.
Yeah.
This morning I contemplated, I spent time with three of the quotes, 772, 773, and 774. And 772 is the one I'm going to read right now. Let's see, who are we looking at here? We're looking at Sri Sankara. So long as even a dreamlike awareness of yourself as an individual in the world remains, as a wise person, persistently see to the removal of all ideas of additions to your true self. And you know, that spoke to me this morning. I mean, obviously I wrote because I always write, but right now I'm not even going to pull up what I wrote. But the way it inspired me this morning was, you know, I know without seeing, I know that there are still a number of thoughts I'm accepting per day that's telling me who I am. And I know I'm accepting them without seeing them. And one thing that I was inspired to do this morning was to recommit. I think every time I sit down with the seven steps, I feel to recommit, which I think is just invaluable. Recommit to being alert, to being aware of when a thought is coming in telling me who I am. And instead of blindly accepting it, just looking at it and then letting it go.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do with that quote, to put it into practice and to never accept anything that thought tells me about who I am, in the sense that, oh, I'm a body, I'm living on a planet called Earth, I have a certain name, all that kind of thing. If one can just completely reject all that. Actually, I just had a thought. It's kind of related to what you to what the sound was in the room about years ago. That thing that you were displaying, and that's the ego script. In a sense, the ego script is, I am a body. My name is such and such. I live on Earth. And et cetera, all that sort of thing. That's the ego script, to use that term from the sharing that you did today in the room. ego script. So to be willing to actually say no to that ego script, to just completely let go of that, and to be dedicated to actually finding out in direct experience, what am I really? Who am I really? If body, if I'm not thought, thinking, beliefs, ideas, concepts, etc., then what am I? To actually be willing to be dedicated to the direct experience of that, not to some intellectual philosophizing and all that kind of stuff, but to be dedicated to the direct experience of finding that. That's kind of related to what you were just saying.
Well, and you know, I mean, in your own words, you basically said, of course, what I wrote this morning. In fact, I'm going to see if I have it here. I'll go ahead and share that. Have you ever seen my 7 Steps journal, by the way?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. I read a little bit of it. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read some of it.
I never expected you to read the whole thing. I think that when I emailed you and told you about the journal, which I think was a couple of years ago, that happened while I was contemplating one of the – actually, I think that happened when I was going through the Most Direct Means book again. That's when that inspiration came. And, of course, this was my second time. I had gone through the Most Direct Means for the first time in 2008, and – when I say I went through it for the first time, I did do it 3 times the first time. And I was going through it again a couple years ago. And I was in a part where it was really emphasizing about how the ego can trick you. The ego can, you know, make you understand when you don't. The ego can misinterpret the teachings. And I just thought, you know, if I am off and I don't know it, I am totally okay with someone telling me, because I would rather be told than to continue down a wrong track. I'm someone who has never felt that I want to fool myself. And sometimes I feel like I have to take quite a stand, to be honest, because sometimes it feels like the general environment is still one of spiritual people fooling themselves, believing themselves to be more enlightened than they are. Denying things without realizing they're denying. I've felt temptation to jump onto that bandwagon arising and jump off that bandwagon. But again, your works or things you put together are inspirations and have been with me ever since I first read the Most Direct Means in 2008. And so one thing you're very helpful with, at least things you put together, is encouraging that don't fool yourself inspiration. And so when I was going through that part of the Most Direct Means again, I just thought, you know, if there's something here I can't see, because I've always been alone, even though I say you're one of my teachers, one of my core teachers. As you know, you and I have never met.
Right.
So I have teachers that aren't here with me, that aren't teaching me. So in a way, in that way, I'm alone in my inner self. And so I always thought, well, if I'm completely off, you know, if there's something I'm really missing because by myself I can't see it because I'm so good at denying it, it would be really helpful if someone else who does have the clarity saw it and told me. And that's when I wrote to you and told you about my 7 Steps journal. So it wasn't out of a desire to, you know, have you read it so much as just knowing that you were aware of it. Then I trusted that if somehow I needed to be contacted and told I was wrong, that door was now open.
Yes, I want to tell you something, and that has to do like the direct means to eternal bliss, etc., and that is that I have a tendency to be very direct, and the human mind, the human ego, doesn't want to be challenged, although I must say I'm kind of surprised that in this chat room that there are a lot of open-minded people, but usually the human ego doesn't want to be challenged, and I have a tendency to be too direct. So I'm actually not that very good at how to balance this question of, on the one side, being so indirect that the whole point just is lost, that one has gone so far from actually directly confronting the ego or directly exposing the ego that it's almost as though one hadn't really pointed towards the ego's tricks at all. on the other side of the coin of that would be to be very, very direct, which I have a tendency to do. And I'm thinking I'm going to just rewrite that whole book, The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, but I don't want to go on the other side too far, which is where it loses all meaning because it's too direct. Because the human mind has so many defense mechanisms, so many thousands of layers of self-deception. Or when I say the human mind, I probably for this room I should use the term ego. That's what I mean. The ego has so many thousands of layers of self-deception that when it's challenged, it finds some way. And that's some, the reason to say thousands of layers is because that some way can be very subtle.
Yeah.
It can be so complex, those ways of never being exposed, of maintaining its imaginary existence. And so anyway, as I mentioned before, one of the reasons I didn't say who I am or that sort of thing and just stayed here is because you've done such a great job of presenting to people in a way that doesn't threaten their ego so far that they actually tune completely out. And I thought that was wonderful. Hey, and so why not just stay the heck out of it? And because I'm not sure my abilities to communicate this are all that great in terms of how does one speak to an ego in a way that will not bring up so much resistance and so many challenges that the ego will just go on continuing forever. How to do that. And but on the other hand, the other side of the coin is that one can talk to the ego in such a non-direct way that even in a million years the message never gets through.
Right.
So how does one balance those two? And that's something I need to work on. And
well, me too, because again, when the teaching happens, you know, the teaching just happens. So I can't take credit or blame. But where I resonate with what you're saying is when I'm not teaching, but, you know, I'm with people and people ask me questions. And sometimes, you know, I see very, very clearly the mistake that is being made. And I will tell them. But I think my approach is actually too gentle. And to be honest, I think I'm too easily ignored. And I think people who are suffering aren't given the opportunity to step out of suffering, or at least not as direct of an opportunity, because my coaching style tends to be too gentle. And that's something I've been looking at. I feel I need to become more direct. You know, I just feel like somehow something's lost in my gentleness. And someone recently wrote to me, and she was talking about me to me. And her comment was, she said, you know, Regina, I love you and I love listening to your teachings, but you've never been my teacher because you're too gentle. I need something more direct. I'm like, yes, that's the way I feel too, too gentle. So we need to merge somehow, Michael.
You know, people, it's, I don't think you're too gentle. I think you're just right. But the but I'll tell you, once you start to go the other way and not be too gentle, people start to disappear. I mean, they really start to disappear. When this body was really young, say about 18 years old, I went to see a teacher called Vernon Howard, and I went to see him four times a week, every week, and he would scream at people. I mean, at the top of his lungs, you know, and it sounded angry, and he would confront the ego more than anyone I've ever seen, anyone. But people would clear out pretty quick, and after 3 months, I cleared out too.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary. It was almost like going to think you're going to see a spiritual teacher, and sitting in the chair there is like a lion or something, and one just wants to clear out. But he was very, very direct, but most people can't, just won't. I was going to say can't, but maybe the word is won't. Almost all humans won't hear anything that directly confronts the ego like that. And he was great at it in many ways, but if you're going to be that aggressive and if almost no one in the world is going to listen, then that's the other side of the balance where maybe you won't come across it if you're that aggressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michael, I'm just really, really happy to be talking to you. In fact, I might start crying in a moment because I have wanted to talk to you so many times.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how it came about this morning. Obviously, I
yeah, it was because I didn't think that, gosh, when you answered the phone, you'd say the last name that you know already. I thought I would have a little fun with it. Gosh, at least let me have a little fun.
No, the phone told on you. But you know, the fact that I was just so clear that I, you know, noticed the clarity in the room. There was, you know, one thing, clarity recognizes clarity. You know that.
Yeah.
So the clarity was undoubtable to me, but what was a little surprising to me was how insistent I was, because I told you I'm gentle, and when you didn't take the mic right away, I waited, and then I'm like, here's my phone number, call. I'm like, I don't even know who I'm talking to, and there was an insistence in me that I wanted to hear this person speak.
And I know, the whole thing step by step was kind of funny and amazing. Step by step, from being insistent, from giving the phone number, from blah, blah, blah. It was one of those wonderful, I guess you could say, what do they use? What's that word? Synchronicity.
Yeah, or grace. I love the word grace as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm happy that you're here now, and I'm hoping that maybe now I will have that opportunity to get to know you a little better, because I personally do not mind your directness, and in fact, I feel like some directness may help me finish this job. So I'm just grateful that you're here, and I'm fixing to leave. I don't know if you know, I'm going to Costa Rica for 10 days.
Yeah.
If you want to hop on a plane and come with me, you're invited. But,
I don't really travel much now, but have a good trip to Costa Rica.
All right, and hopefully I will talk to you again when I return. So, you know, if you're in the room, I'll find you here. If not, then you have my phone number, and I probably,
okay.
probably
well,
have yours.
Lots of love and warm fuzzies going your way now.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you. It's a joy to have finally met you, and it's time for me to turn the mic over to someone else.
Okay.
But thank you.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.